Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Saturday night. You're listening to Bad Company with Gray Eye Smith, Daniel DeShino, and Weaver of Dreams. And I don't see either of them in the studio, so hopefully they will call in soon enough. But that said, tonight's show is based on a contest ran by Daniel Deschino called The Moon Always Rises. And it's a photo prompt. And it says the photo is the prompt. You may use the title if you like. And, yeah, so you've got a lot of entries from that, plus some open poetry to get to tonight. So that said, let's get on with the show. All right, so first we have Summertime Raining Gloom by Tri Can't Tran. And we'll post that to the group. Here we go. The very merry unbirthday to us. Exactly, Phil. Exactly. All right, here we go. Summertime Raining Gloom. Melting moon upon the empty celestial sea, smearing pale white woe for me to taste. Summer joy turns into a mournful funeral. My heart bleeds, sad, icy tears within. Hissing wind, a sorrowful viper, sailing through the miserable weather on its way to an isolated shelter until the glassy sky trudges back again. Naked birch trees, like trembling cobras, hissing with fear and mumbling in terror, while the triangular rain flip-flops onto this earth like celestial bombs. My bedroom window vibrates endlessly. I, a poet in the middle of giving birth to a cheerful summertime gazelle, must now lick this reduced bitterness. End poem. Well, so that was interesting. He had a dark take on the prompt, I think. Naked birch trees like trembling cobras hissing with fear and mumbling in terror while the triangular rain flip-flops onto this earth like celestial bombs. Wow, that was a hard-hitting emotive right, you know, on the sorrow of a heavy heart on a summer night. That's my opinion. Great, right? Tycon. And let me check the studio once more. Nope. No Weaver of Dreams and no Daniel DeFino. Daniel isn't feeling well, so I kind of don't expect him to call in tonight. But that said, I hope you feel better, Daniel. And yeah, Weaver, I hope you're not dreaming away in Scotland, as you will, I'm sure. At some point in your life, you got to sleep. And so, yeah, thank you for sharing that, Tricon. And yeah, we've got the next poem here. And next we have some bump this up so that she's able to get out. There we go. Okay, so next we have The Rising Moon and Inspiration by Anne Stephan. And then we'll post that to the group. Oh, Daniel, there you are. Wow. I'm going to pick you up in a second here. All right. Company. Woo-hoo. We got some bad company going on now. Hey, Daniel.
That's right. Hey. Sorry. I had to check in, and I didn't want to leave you alone, my friend. So I am here for you.
I appreciate that. Much appreciated. Yeah, it's a little panicky when you're by yourself.
No, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
I think he's probably snoozing.
Hey, you know what? It's like the first time in 20 years she got a good night's sleep, so power to her.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind. Do you mind if I just, I know you already, I'm assuming you already introduced the show, but if I just say something real quick about the contest?
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I just want to say I appreciate everybody writing in. I had a really great response to this. It was just it's just based on a couple of pictures I literally just took around my house. This one is The Moon Always Rises. And then I have a companion piece, which is The Sun Always Rises. And that is, hopefully in a couple of weeks we'll do that one. But I was very excited to have such a great outpouring. And I don't know if that background is me or you, Gray, but we both might want to just push mute when we're not talking because I think there's a little bit of background noise. But yeah, I'm sorry I missed the first one that came on, which is by Tri Tran, and that was the got the gold for this one. So it's a great poem. I appreciate you reading it, Gray. But anyway, yeah, so I'm glad I got to make it in. And yeah, continue on. Were we doing the second poem now?
Yeah, we are. I've got it posted if you would mind giving it a read.
I won't.
Oh, Weaver's on the board saying, hi, laptop being right, .. I'll be there soon.
Oh,
there
excellent.
Weaver,
yes, I will be right there. I am just right. Getting
so,
it
yeah.
On a computer as well, too. I can definitely make it. And, oh, Quicken is on the board, too. So, hey, Quicken. All right, where everybody's coming. Everybody loves you, Gray. They're all coming to rescue you. There you go. All right, I'm just pulling it up now. And, yeah, we have so I'm ready to read this one here, and hopefully Weevil will be right on. And this is by Ann Stefan, and this got the silver in the contest. It's called The Rising Moon and Inspiration. That day was horrible. It threw me into an abyss of deep despair, sadness. I sat in a wicker chair, head between my knees, and sobs uncontrollable, tore my heart into shreds. My boyfriend had just left me, alone, orphaned, unwed mother-to-be, an ordeal that frightened me. As evening advanced into night, I felt intense grief washing over me in waves. A million questions, phoenix-like, rose in my mind. All devoid of answers, I began to think of death and oblivion from this crisis. Suddenly, moonlight beamed through the trees. I was forced to look up at the bright light shining from the sky, piercing the stubborn clouds with bravado unrestrained. That beautiful sight of the rising moon awakened in me a strange desire. I would survive against all odds, like that rising moon, shining boldly through dark clouds, its ivory-colored brilliance upon the dark earth below. Amidst the darkness of betrayal, loss, sorrow, that nocturnal orb inspired me to rise above the darkness, to show the world to shine for the sake of myself and my yet unborn baby. Wiping away my tears, I whispered to myself, the moon always rises. End poem.
Wonderful read, Daniel. And that's a hard-hitting poem. You know, what a situation to be in. You know, your boyfriend needs to be pregnant, you'd be a mother, unwed mother. And, you know, how horrifying is that? But then, you know, you find inspiration in the rising of this beautiful moon, you know, shining brightly through the night and lifting itself above the darkness to, you know, shed its light onto the earth and the world around. So I thought it was beautiful, beautifully emotive and heartfelt, right? You know, on the inner strength found by that moon. So, you know, just beautiful. Excellent, right? And a great read, Dan. So what did you think,
yeah.
Dan?
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. Like I said, I did give it the silver for this. And, you know, showing that inspiration, it's so funny, some of the simple things you don't think of. How many times do we see the moon? I see it every night. I usually take walks at night, right? And I just can't believe I never thought about it as, where is the line here? Rising above darkness, a symbol to rise above darkness. I mean, you know, it really does amaze me the things that you look at in life and never see. It's staring right in your face. And it just sounds so simple, but I never thought of it in that words, and I just love that line. You know, as a symbol to rise above darkness. And to see that as an inspiration is great. And I love how one of the things with both of these contests I had that I really liked is the different places that people went. You know, it wasn't just a tribute to the moon, which there was some there, but there were all these different places. And this must have reminded Anne of this dark time in her life, and how she got inspired. I'm sad if it's a true story about the guy leaving her, but I'm inspired if it's a true story that she was actually inspired by the moon. So I'm curious, Anne, if any of this is true or not. But I also like how she worked in the title, A Moon Always Rises, to, at the very end. I thought that was really great. And, you know, she expresses herself really well. I'm always a fan of storytelling and poetry, and I thought she really captured the reader in this immensely. So it was great, and awesome job. Really appreciate you writing for the contest. And, yeah, so I love Weaver got to be on yet. If not, we can kind of continue on.
Yeah, she's not here yet, so we'll keep calling here. All right, so we have Breakthrough by S. Short, a.k.a. Scott Short. Breakthrough. Breakthrough, night wind, your dark limbs of reason. Grayscale, shutter speeds, collide. Mindsets, second to second, burn through the cloud-filled sky. Whispers of moonlight grow to guttural screams. Rebirth hides in roots of misery, penetrating below the surface. Arms thrown into the sky. Pray to the moon. Pray for lunar forgiveness before the sun rises. End poem. And in his author's notes, it says, midnight darkness killed by fire-red moonlight, which is a great comment to make. So, yeah, excellent, right? And it's a pleasure to read it. You know, it really has a ethereal type meaning of praying for lunar forgiveness before the sun rises. That's the kind of epic. And what are your thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, we love Scott. He's a friend of the show. And this one got the bronze. So we got the three top prizes at the beginning here. And great imagery. Scott always has a very like scientific and natural feel to his poems. I think he thinks like that. It's kind of the way I think as well too. But I really like the way he thinks.
Yeah.
Grayscale shutter speeds collide, and I like the way that's a describe of that grayscale shutter speed. Gray, do you mind just muting real quick? Appreciate it. Thanks. So grayscale shutter speeds, I thought that's a really interesting way to picture the moon as these kind of shutter. It's kind of almost watching like this movie coming up. Second to second, burn through cloud-filled skies. And that's an interesting way to look at it, too. We've all seen the moon and the clouds going through it, but they have it burning through there to kind of, you know, glow in these guttural screams. So he's personifying the moon as well, too. And then penetrating that surface below. Pray to the moon, pray for lunar forgiveness before the sun rises. So really getting this kind of darkness here, you know, praying to the moon, can we actually make it through the evening? And, you know, a lot of the poems that I saw here was kind of different aspects of that, but this one I thought was really interesting as well too. So he really had this great kind of deep internal, almost ancestral feel to it, like this is almost like an ancient prayer. I think it read. So I thought the feel was just great. It was a beautiful poem. And you was always great. An awesome read. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I like the play between darkness and light. You know, it had a darkness, but yet there's light to it as well. And I'm just sending a message to Phil. I think we missed the SoundCloud by called A Vampires. Well, Vampires. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's
so
two SoundClouds for tonight. Sorry, Phil. Sorry, Greg, go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. Was one about vampires, do you know?
Yeah, there's two SoundClouds. One is Weavers, actually. Vampires, that's coming. They're both coming up later, and then one is from Stelina, I believe, that was a late entry. That is one of the open poetry. So I think those are the only two SoundClouds that we have, but they're coming up later in the show anyway, so we got a little bit of time, definitely.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just sent one to Phil from, that was missed, I think. So, all right, here we go. Got, hello, Weaver.
Hello. Hello. I'm
here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry.
We thought you might have been having a cat nap. No, that's okay.
No.
You
can
take
over
the job of posting poems.
Firstly, I don't sleep on cats, so they're quite safe. And, and secondly, my laptop is being an absolute... And I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. But I've conquered it. I'm here.
So,
calm.
Weaver, I'm glad you're here, but part of me was excited. I was like, maybe she's actually finally getting a good night's sleep tonight for once. I'm like, that's a positive thing, but not too much to hope for that, right?
I'm afraid so, yeah. I did try, but it was not happening. So about 12:30, I gave up and thought, oh, well, let's enjoy ourselves. And then, of course,
okay.
My PC went on. Anyway, as usual, it's always high drama. It's never anything calm. So I'm glad to be here.
There you go. There you go. Well, I wasn't really feeling – I was having some issues as well, too, but I wanted to jump on and save Gray, and now we're all here, and I'm excited. I'm glad I actually made it. So, yeah, did you get to hear that last poem or read it at all?
No, I'm sorry. I did not. I was busy cursing. I mean, I was busy getting my PC to work.
Too funny. Gotcha. All right, Weaver. So our next poem is by Chrysalis333. If you would mind adding that, please.
Of course. Actually, I think I've got it. I'll just check. Yes. Wowzer. Am I on the ball? No. Anyway, here we are. We have Stalagmites Adorn Each Moon by Chrysalis333. I will give this a little read, seeing as I'm tardy to the party. So, stalagmites adorn each moon. Where do I begin? My veiled trail leaves silver secrets, fraught from dewdrops glisten. An unknown universe awaits you. My contours fabricate galactic garments, where time is spun no more. Find me not in knowing. Let libertine heart bathe each elixir and wind all yarn. Yearn melancholic miasma, mimicking all scars, yield not in reason. Hold my crescent hand, swim with lunar mermaids. Lunitation after lunitation, I am a doorway, familiar stranger, welcome to your transformation. End poem.
Beautiful read, and I like the poem. It has I really like stalagmites adorned each moon, you know. And then she starts out, "Where do I begin? My veiled trail leaves silver secrets, frocks from dewdrops glisten." You know, it's just beautiful. You know, the imagery is fantastic, and the second stanza, "An unknown universe awaits you." My contours fabricate galactic garments where time is spun no more. You know, that's ethereal and deep, powerful imagery as well. And find me in not knowing, let libertine hearts be each elixir, unwind all yarn. Another beautiful stanza. And the whole thing is beautiful. So the imagery and metaphors are excellent, and personification is wonderful. You know, you can feel the growth and the transition. So I thought it was beautiful. And what did you think, Ed?
Oh, yes.
What did you think?
No, it's okay. Sorry. Go
okay.
Ahead.
Yeah, what are your thoughts, Dan?
Yeah, sorry, I stepped away, but I am back. Yeah, we are on to the honorable mentions now. And I thought this is really, really interesting and great imagery. And like I was saying earlier, a lot of these poems kind of went different places. You know, I love that. It's things that I wasn't expecting. You know, I took the picture, and looking at it, I'm more thinking of just the artistry of the moon and the sky. But they really went different places. And I got this as kind of like a there's a lot of symbolism in here, but almost like the kind of tracing the moon and just kind of following it, almost like this psychedelic vision is what I'm kind of picturing. So my veil trail leaves silver secrets, frocks from dewdrops glisten, and I think that's a really interesting image as well too. Those silver secrets. So the moon is illuminating things, but then it goes back into the dark again. So those silver secrets, and describing the moon as silver instead of black and white, I thought was really, really good. Hold my crescent hands, swim with lunar mermaids, lunation after lunation. I don't know if lunation is a word, but I really like it, and it should be. I'm impressed if it is a word because I haven't heard it before, and I'm impressed if it's not a word because I'm a huge fan of people making up words. I decided when I was judging the poem, I decided not to look it up because I knew what it meant, and I knew what they were going after, but I like lunation, kind of like illumination, but lunation. And, you know, so just taking the moon into this kind of fantastical world was very, for lack of a better term, poetic and really well written and great. Yeah, nice job. And again, I stepped away, so I don't know if, Reva, you got to comment or not.
No, I didn't as yet. I enjoyed reading this a great deal. This has got so much in it that you need to digest and you know, and read over and over again. But I thought it was so... I mean, I judge things by how easy they are to read. I'm not saying that every piece of poetry has to be easy to read. That'd be daft. But if it's easy for me to get the cadence and read it, then I know that it's a very well-written piece of poetry because it's such a lovely read. And this one is just that. This last stanza just kind of grabbed me. I am a doorway, familiar stranger, welcome to your transformation. Sounds so cool, doesn't it? What on earth would you be transformed into? I'd love to know. Anyway, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Excellent. And I don't know if we read Quicken's comment, but I'm not about reading it again. Again, I stepped away for a second. But Quicken said, it's like stepping into a dreamscape where reality bends and time dissolves. The imagery of stalagmites and lunar mermaids creates a striking otherworldly scene that's both mysterious and inviting. I love the play on words and the invitation to let go of reason. The deep dive into an emotional cosmic journey as if the poem itself is a transformation, urging the reader to explore the unknown with open arms. Beautifully written. Wow. You know what else is beautifully written was that comment. you should definitely call in Quicken.
Right.
That's an amazing comment. I mean, geez. I thought ours were good, but that was the best comment so far. So really nice job, Quicken.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. All right, we know where we can next.
And off mute. And we are going to go to Nocturne by Ben Hart. Now, which of you gentlemen has read last or has not read last or whatever? Where am I? Who was last?
Daniel.
Great. Hi, that's great. I was actually going to ask if I could because my other co-host on my other show always likes to read Ben's, and she always takes Ben's, and I never get to read Ben's, so I would love to. And I love you to pieces, Afasiana, but I just wanted to say that I get to steal Ben's this time because you always get to read it on the other show. So that this makes me excited. And Ben got a honorable mention on this as well. This is called Nocturne. It's not the wolves that undress the moon with their silence. It's the star that cannot bear to look at itself. Part one. Adults don't wish on falling stars, only on closed doors and burned bridges. Part two, and I only come here to make noise, drift in static between angels of the screaming snow, because the silence is a poison, eating me slow. Part three, not every butterfly becomes a storm. Some just go out flying. Some get where they need to go. Part four, running with the tumbleweed moons, you thought time was only the color of the sky in the evanescent depths of a dream. But it's something we're born with, a calling to die. part five. If you won't accept the penny for your thoughts, how about the moon? How about my life? Part six. Tell me, love, in the quiet between us, did you even try to find me? Or is this really all I am? The beholder, a moth to a starving apathy. Why did you stop singing? Part seven. Why are you not here, screaming at me? I think we deserve that at least. End poem.
Wow. Amazing read. And such an amazing write. You know, I love his depth that he goes to, you know. You can feel all the emotion in this poem. The imagery is fantastic. I really enjoyed part two where it says, and I only come here to make noise, drift in static, between angels of the tree and snow, because this silence is a poison. To me, this speaks of a relationship that's gone sideways and is fading out, kind of like a star dying. Just a beautiful poem on contemplation, you know. It's very contemplative. I don't know if that's a word or not, but contemplative. But, yeah, it's beautiful, right? And what are your thoughts, Reed?
Wonderful. I really believe this amazing chap puts his heart out on the page or on the screen every time he writes. There is so much depth to him. And we feel it. If he's happy, we feel it. And if he's sad, we feel it. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to portray. I thought six was just wonderful. I thought seven was just wonderful. Of course, it's the last stanza. Why are you not here screaming at me? I think we deserve that at least. Beautiful. Yes, I really enjoyed this. Powerful as ever. And thank you so much for sharing that with us, Ben.
Thanks, Weaver. Excellent comment. And Ben, first thing I'm going to say is I'm disappointed. You know why? You didn't put a picture on here. This is the first poem I've ever seen where Ben did not actually put original artwork. So, but I'll take that as a compliment that you like the actual artwork that I put on there. But for those of you who don't know Ben, he usually puts original art. He's an amazing artist as well as just an exceptional poet. I usually put his own artwork on there. So, but I like this. I think what he's trying to do is do something different because he organized this a little bit different than his other poems, and I really like it when he goes different places. I think it's great. I just loved the first one. To me, that's a standalone poem right there by itself, and that's a prompt for a whole contest, for a whole show. Adults don't wish on falling stars, only on closed doors and burned bridges. It's so true how much dreams just kind of disappear when you get older. You know, I try so hard to just kind of keep that alive in my life, where you actually still can look at the sky and be wondrous as opposed to just seeing, you know, all the things that happened. You know, instead of, you know, wishing on something great to happen, you're wishing that all the stuff that you messed up in your life would just get better. And it's sad, but it's true a lot. You know, one thing I noticed, so I go on business trips sometimes, and I've been to different places like Colorado. I just came from St. Louis and some other places. And I notice on the bus rides and while I'm there, I seem to literally be the only person that's looking around going, wow, look at this place. Like, just because I'm someplace different, you know, trying to actually take it in. Everybody else is looking at their phones or talking, and I'm like looking out the window like a little kid, like, ooh, look at that. Or like trying to actually, you know, understand. I mean, even a place like St. Louis, which isn't, you know, a huge vacation spot, I was trying to take it in and understand it, you know, and I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. I consciously try to keep that little kid wonderment that we all seem to lose as we get older. And I think that captured it really well. And Quicken said, quickly, I'll say Quicken said, reading through the poem felt like a journey into the night, filled with whispered shadows, tugged to the heartstring. It's like you're painting with the words, creating images that linger longer after the reading. So thanks, Quicken. That was great. But yeah, thanks, Ben, as always. Awesome, awesome. And must be time to move on with life here.
Absolutely. All right, Weaver, what do we have next?
We have The Moon Always Rises by S. Beza. And Gray, would you care to read this for us, please?
Sure would. The Moon Always Rises by S. Beza. You were never solemn. You think you were more of a Mercury than you ever were any other hot, incessant, ever moving. Your particles would disperse at the sight of the sun as it rises, passion overtaking the flow of the blood when it surges. But at the end of the day, when you're laid on the same blanket as yesterday, the same moon shares the secrets of the night, and the same moon tucks you in to the deepest slumber. And in her author's note, she says, written really fast, I don't know. But no, she did a beautiful job. What are your thoughts, Lisa?
Oh, definitely. If this is something written fast, I would like to see her taking a long time. That would be amazing. This is so good. Again, we have that lovely lyrical flow, which I enjoy particularly. And we have somebody who's sleeping on the same blanket as yesterday. The same moon shares the secrets of the night, and the same moon tucks you in to the deepest slumber. Oh, that is deep. You know, that feels like somebody's waving bye-bye, time to go, which is in itself very interesting. I like this a lot. I thought that I like the title, The Moon Always Rises. It's I think it was part to do with your contest, wasn't it? Or have I heard it before? Anyway, beautifully done, and thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thanks, Weaver. And yeah, that's the title of the contest, yeah, that she got from. And she's a newer writer, I believe, only 14 poems on here. So I'm excited to see what Espeza, or Beza, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, comes up with later. But yeah, this is great. And that was my, that's the same thing I said, Weaver, was very impressive if you wrote this fast, you know, because I think there's a lot of thought in here. And I really like the second stanza. Your particles would disperse at the sight of the sun as it rises, passion overtaking the flow of blood when it surges. And I like that analogy. And again, another place that people took this, that was, whenever I see contests or shows, I always try to look for common themes. And what I liked about this contest I did was that the common theme was there wasn't a common theme. Everybody got so much different directions. I thought that was great. And this analogy of this thought of you know, the sun, I mean, the moon does just kind of, you know, fade off when the sun comes up. The particle kind of disperse at the sight of the sun, like passion overtaking the flow. And I thought that was really interesting. So there's some great imagery here and really, really great thoughts. So awesome job on this one. I really enjoyed it, and it did get a honorable mention. I think we all did. You commented first, right, Gray? So are we ready to rock?
Yes, we certainly are. We now have Introspection by M.J. Donnelly. And to catch up, because I was late, I'll take this one, folks. Ah, Mr. Donnelly, lovely to see you. Okay, Introspection. Dark thoughts cleave cleanly through on occasion to the bone, but I know they will depart, chased away by tenants of my heart that bang pots and pans like old women, shooing off the pesky crows from the apple orchard. I am a child of reason, a proselyte of felt sanctity, thumbing scriptures, always praying before roundabout it goes the age-old struggle of duality. A granite sarsen protruding from the cracked ribs of reality. At times I stand in a puddle of tears. My faith is growing sentience, before a lavender orange dawn with assurance that the moon always rises. End poem.
Beautiful reading, Eva. What are your thoughts, Dan?
Yeah, really interesting. I agree with the first thing Weaver said was, I am Jay Donnelly. Like, she knows him, and it's always great to hear from him. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people were inspired by the title. Just something usually when I title things, I'm like, all right, I just got to title it. So I threw that out there. And, you know, I think that people adding that on there, I think is great, because it is an interesting, you know, you can get a lot out of that title, I guess. But I enjoyed, let's just find that where that was here. It was at the end, at times I stand in a puddle of tears. My faith is a grinning sentience before a lavender orange dawn, assurance that the moon always rises. So my faith is a grinning sentience is very interesting. But it is true about the back and forth of, you know, the tough times we go through, but then you kind of find that there is hope that something is going to change, right? That's the way I actually deal with depression. Is I get mad at it now. I get annoyed if depression sets in, because it's, you know, because you have these thoughts of everything's horrible and all this, but I'm like, but I'm able to rationalize and say, I felt like this before and it goes away. So I just kind of disappear for a little bit, wait for it to go away, and that's kind of what that reminded me of. You know, dark thoughts cleave cleanly through on occasion. Cleave cleanly through, that's interesting, to the bone. But I know they will depart, chased away by tenets of my heart. So that's, you know, same thing I just said. So it's interesting, you know, being inspired by the fact that the moon will come again, things will change. So excellent job. And great job on the getting the honorable mention. And what about you, Gray?
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. You know, I really liked the pots and pans bit. You know, it's so relatable, you know. But I liked your comments as well about just saying, F you, depression, you know. You're not going to invade my life and take over my world, which is beautiful, you know. You know, I like the comment that Crickin made. It says, wow, this really hits deep. It's like you cracked open the human heart and laid bare the fight inside. The bit about banging pots and pans to chase off the dark thoughts. It's genius. So relatable. Yeah, fantastic comment, Crickin. But, you know, the whole poem has a stand on its own attitude, you know. I really like MJ, and I appreciate his entry. So great, right? What are your thoughts, Weaver?
Firstly, I'd like to apologize to Mr. Donnelly for fluffing a few words. I apologize for that. It's most annoying when it happens, but we got through it, and I got through it because it was so well written. Thank you so much. And like everybody else, I echo everybody else's sentiments on this one. The last stanza is always my favorite, which, you know, is there. But I love the roundabout it goes, the age-old struggle of duality. A granite sarsen protruding from the cracked ribs of reality. That just really speaks to me because, I am two people, like everybody, probably a dozen people, like everybody. And I love what Daniel said about the wanting always to hold on to that feeling of wonder that you had as a child. I thought everybody had that, because that's the one thing that I can go to when things get rough, that lovely little glow inside that makes me think of the things that make me happy, and like hugging trees. So, yeah, I can understand all of this. But that particular stanza just really spoke to me. But yeah, I thought it was wonderful. And thank you so much for sharing that with us, MJ.
Yeah, a lot of people don't have that. You know, I heard a great Oscar Wilde quote, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, you know, being alive is amazing because most people aren't alive. They just exist. You know, I think that, you know, keeping that childlike You know, wonderment is great. I manage a lot of people. I've talked to those before on here, and a lot of them are younger. And my new saying I say to them now is, be safe, but go enjoy your life. You know, I try to tell them be safe because, you know, kids nowadays, you know, I don't know what they're doing, but, you know, go enjoy your life because a lot of people, you know, they don't. They've lost that enjoyment, right? They've lost that wonderment. It always makes me happy when they tell me, you know, oh, I went and played this and did this and ran around with my friends, you know. There's a lost great pleasure in life that we forget to do when we're older, which is just being idiots with our friends. You know, when you think when you're a kid and you're just doing stupid things and just being silly and all that stuff, that's part of life that we don't do anymore. We get together with our friends and talk about our illnesses and just serious things in the world and politics and all this, right? And that's what we do when we're older, instead of just being stupid, which is, you know, just having fun and enjoying life and not worrying. And, you know, unfortunately, that gets lost a lot, Weaver.
Yes, it does. I mean, maybe we're just the lucky one to kind of keep that going. But I've always loved that little tingle that I get when something new happens or something I haven't done or want to do. So, I thought everybody had that special glow thing going on. But unfortunately, a lot of things happen to a lot of very good people, and maybe not everybody can. I wouldn't have got through the last 10 years if I didn't have that to fall back on and take my enjoyment when I can and from where I can. So, you know, it's a good thing. Everybody should try it. Think about all the good stuff and go and tickle a friend. No, don't tickle.
Absolutely. Well, you can tickle a friend. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, that's okay.
It's just in my mind's eye, I'm seeing a whole load of people tickling each other, and I thought, maybe not a good idea. Anyway.
Oh, what's wrong with that? A little laughing, and that's okay, no problem. And Stelina and Quicken both said they're still a little nuts, and Stelina, thanks for being on the board. So I think a lot of people on the site have that sense of wonderment, so we're lucky to be here. But Gray, I know, does. Gray is always very, very impressed by nature and all that. So I think a lot of people on this site do. Right, Gray? Am I wrong, right about that?
No, I always stand in awe at the beauty of nature. You know, I always feel like such a child in the playground when I'm in the woods. You know, it really is. It takes me away from the world into my childlike wonderment. You know, I'm always just in awe at the beauty of nature. It just stuns me. Still does every day.
And
I enjoy nature.
Sure. All right, cool. What do you guys want to do now?
Oh, I think we should move on to the next. Oh, thank you. I love when you say that. It just makes me giggle. Okay, we've got A Moon Alone by Sandy G. And Daniel, would you give this a read for us, please?
Honored I would be. And I want to say, you know, we're getting out of the honorable mentions now, but this is a tough one. I like doing contests, but sometimes it really is hard, and I don't know if the rest of you guys feel this way, but it's just like almost painful to say I wish I had more honorable mentions, and it sounds cliche and cheesy, but it's true. You know, it's hard to pick. This is a very, very hard contest. I thought every single, yeah, it is great, definitely. I thought every single one was great. So they're in no particular order, but it was a really, really great response. And Sandy G, this is A Moon Alone. Sparkling stars like diamonds winking, salute the approaching evening. Dreams and nightmares bid their time, light of day, waves a bright goodbye. Sunset draws gray the gloaming, clouds close in to hide the stars, shadows overlaid with oinks, ride the night and wind blowing by. The summer moon magnetic rises on a string of gravity, a cotton candy chalky moon, patch-eyed in the midnight sky. Moonbeams brighten shadows, dawn records the break of day. Sunbeams brilliant yellow glow with morning promise. Eastern skies strike fire, painting clouds in scarlet hues. A crescent sun lights far horizon and strikes the tallest treetops. End poem.
Beautiful read, Daniel. And what are your thoughts, Weaver?
Yes, beautifully read, Daniel. That was really good. I like this. I love the sparkling. not so much the nightmares, but I love the dreams. I think this was very well written. And such a lovely turn of phrase. I don't know if one uses that nowadays. It probably makes me seem very old, but I do like a good turn of phrase, and this is certainly full of them. Sunset draws grey the gloaming. Oh, roaming in the gloaming. It's an old Scottish word, that one. The summer moon magnetic rises on a string of gravity. I mean, that's amazing. Amazing. Beautiful. And all of it. You have these wonderful little splatters of brilliance that just lights the whole thing up. Well, the whole poem up thing. And again, your last stanzas are wonderful. Eastern skies strike fire, painting clouds in scarlet hues. A crescent sun lights far horizon and strikes the tallest treetops. Beautiful. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Sandy G. It was wonderful.
Thank you, Weaver. And, you know, I enjoyed the poem as well. I really enjoyed that first stanza. Sparkling stars like diamonds winking salute the approaching evening. Dreams and nightmares bid their time. Light of day waves a bright goodbye. You know, I can just picture the day changing in such a way, you know, where the stars just kind of twinkle. It's still daylight, but, you know, it's kind of evening, and the stars are taking over the sky. And to me, that always captured my imagination, that particular shift in time from daylight to darkness. But then she brings it back with eastern skies bright fire, painting clouds and skylight scarlet hues. A crescent sun lights a far horizon and strikes the tallest treetops. You know, you can see that as the morning sun rises and lights the forest on fire with its brilliance. So there's a beautiful word picture painted here. Excellent write and a fantastic read as well. What are your thoughts, Dan?
Sure. First, Stolianus's lovely brevity, some nicely penned imagery here. And Quicken says, there's a comforting rhythm in this cycle he described, one that speaks to the soul's longing for both mystery of the night and promise of a new day. And I agree with Quicken and Stolina on that. I did see this kind of back and forth here. That's why I actually said it's such a beautiful way to tell the story, because I do, that was my original comment, because I do think that's what she's kind of doing, is telling this kind of story of the moon. And like Weaver said, some of the imagery is just beautiful. I also like that string of gravity was interesting. What was the other one here that I saw? Moonbeams brighten shadows. I thought that was interesting. Again, something I never really thought about with imagery, but brightening shadows. And you can take that two ways. You can either have the shadows actually get lighter, right, or they get more pronounced. And that definitely happens, you know. when you have we've all been outside when there's no moon and it's just really dark. And that's interesting. But also when the moon comes up, It's hard to see where I am. I'm kind of in the city, so when there's a lot of clouds, it's actually brighter than when the moon's out, because I get that glow from Boston, from the city, unfortunately. But when the moon's out, you get these kind of weird shadows that are interesting. And you know, again, like Quicken said, this is kind of back and forth between, so the moon beams bright in the shadows, but then the sun beams brilliant yellow glow with morning promise. So that dance between night and day, moon and sun, you know, even though the moon is technically the sun, just, you know, a lighter reflection, right? That was beautiful, great imagery, and I love the description towards the picture. One of my favorite, I always like taking these kind of moon pictures when they come out like that, so I like this one a lot. I'm glad I got a good response. Cool. And let's keep going.
Okay.
What do we want to do? What is it?
I'm here. Right, we have Haiku, Even Hidden, by Ivan Spivak. And Gray, would you like to read this one for us, please?
Sure, you betcha. All right, we got a long one here. Haiku, Even Hidden. Even hidden in the clouds, moonrise. End poem. What are your thoughts, Dan?
Yeah, I really like, you know, it's hard to do haikus like this, or haikus at all to me. I mean, anybody's ever read my poems, I can't shut up, as you can tell by my comments. I just kind of keep going and going. Sometimes I look back, I'm like, man, this is 500 words long. So short ones to be impactful are hard, and haikus I think are even harder. You know, anything with rules, right? And I thought this was great. You know, even hidden in the clouds, moonrise. That talks a lot about that, where that, you know, the moon is always there, and I think you can take a lot out of that. You know, we've talked a lot today about inspiration and about renewal, and it's always there. You know, just sometimes we don't see it, right? So that moon is always there. You know, we sometimes think, oh, it's a drab, dreary, rainy day. You know, I know a lot of people like that. It's peaceful. I love rainy days, but sometimes it's drab and you just want the sun. The sun's always there. Just because you can't see it, it's still there. And the moon is too, right? So even hidden in the clouds, moonrise. The moon will always rise. And he, Evan said so. So the contest name, The Moon Always Rises, I thought he did just a brilliant way of re-saying that title by even hidden in the clouds, the moon rise, which basically means the moon always rises. So really, really, I thought this was brilliant for a haiku. There's a lot in there that I got out of it. So excellent job, Evan. And Weaver, go for it.
Oh, yes, it was beautifully done. As you say, it's not the easiest thing to write to any kind of, you know, static rule. It's kind of like beating creativity over the head with a clock or something. You know, you can only take this long. You can only write this amount of words. But it does help. It makes you be more concise and search for the proper words to give exactly the meaning you wanted to give. So, yes, it's very, very helpful if you can do it, which, you know, some of us and some of us don't. But I wrote a couple of tankas once, which is similar, and it was just, I was just in a very funny mood, and mine was something like, I am a book on the tallest shelf, I am alone, your ladder cannot reach me. And they took it seriously. Oh my goodness, somebody actually printed it. I couldn't believe it. So I do enjoy them occasionally, but yeah, beautifully done. This is very clever. It gives exactly your title of your contest a different slant, which is a clever thing. And as you see, yeah, it's always there. We just don't always see it. So well done, Ivan.
That was great. Did that poem, like, did it get published? Are you saying, like, it's actually in a book, or are you talking about, like, published online?
Online published, yeah, in an online magazine. But it was one of those ones that's very hard to get anything into, so I was in fits. I just thought it was hilarious because it was meant to be just a bit of fun, and I just thought it would be taken like that. But never mind. They don't know, so what they don't know won't hurt them until they hear it.
No, that's great. That's great. I don't apply to many, but I've yet to be published in on like any kind of online magazine. So I'm jealous. I'd like to do that someday. But
yeah,
some great. Yeah, I gotta try more. I gotta try a little harder. But yeah, everybody's saying that it's you know, great use of limited words and syllables, and how nice this poet was. So awesome. And Gray, you had a, you know, that was a tough one to read, right? Nice long one. What'd you think there?
Yeah, I mean, such a beautiful picture painted in a such a short poem. You know, master of haiku, obviously, something that I'm not able to do, unfortunately, because my brain just won't shut down when I start writing. I just keep going and going and going. So, yeah, beautiful, right? And it was a pleasure to read it. So thank you for sharing.
Dum, 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 dum. And so I must remember to wait for you to speak. I do apologize. I'm over eager. That's what I'm trying to make up for being tardy. Right, so we have Adorable Planet by Prasad Dakreo. Pindar Pro. Oh, okay. And I will give this one a read. Here we go. Hold on to your hat. They're coming to get you. kind of spun.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. Right, adorable planet. As Sun, the ruler of the sky, gets tired and descends to rest, Moon, the beautiful, rises to rescue the earth, spreading its awesome and pleasant light, beautifying the sky. The smiling moon from above is a wonder for some, invoking the minds of poets to write poetry about many. It also brings lovers together, making this world a wonderful place to live. End poem.
Beautiful read, Weaver. And I really enjoyed the poem. It really captures the essence of the moon. It beautifies the sky, spreading its awesome and pleasant light. It's a wonder for some, invoking minds of poets to write poetry about many. It also brings lovers together, making this world a wonderful place to live. You know, how many people have laid under the moon with their lover and shared a beautiful moment together? I thought it was just wonderful, very descriptive and engaging. What are your thoughts, Daniel?
I did too, and I like adorable planet. It's neat, and I think he's actually talking the adorable planet. He's talking about the moon, but he could be talking about the Earth as well. And it just reminds me of one of the best descriptions of the Earth from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which he describes the Earth as mostly harmless. So it reminded me of that adorable planet. Where is it here? The smiling and move from above is a wonder for some, right? And we've talked about that. And I like invoking the minds of poets to write. It also brings together, lovers together, making this world a wonderful place to live. And it's true. He's talking about that. I mean, it's proof right here, right? I have a picture of the moon up there, and it brought all these poets together. And, what we've seen is all different, it evoked all different emotions so far. We've had a lot of different thoughts about that. And the moon is a very romantic thing, right? At the nighttime when you're alone under the stars, under the moon. So he really made it, brought out a lot of the beauty of that. As the sun, rule of the sky, gets tired. I like the personification as well too. I love the moon, the beautiful, rises to rescue the earth. So almost like the sun's going away. What are we going to do when the moon comes up to kind of rescue us, to bring some light to the world? And I like it described as the beautiful. So this is really great. It's actually one of my favorites of Pin the Pearl. I like his stuff, but this is probably my favorite one he's written. So great job. And yeah, we're an hour into it, and I've already lost who commented. I think Gray did. I forget which one. Did you comment, Weaver? I'm losing my mind here.
I don't think so. I think I read it, so I probably haven't. But anyway, okay. I'll just take these words. Thank you, Gray. Thank you. Ground me, that's my man. Right, this is beautiful. It's such a tender sweetness to this, which is remarkable. It actually made me feel sort of like nicer to have read something like this because it has so much of love in it. And it is. It also brings lovers together, making this world a wonderful place to live. Now, that's something we should try and keep in the back of our minds, shouldn't we, as our day-to-day trivia goes on, that is actually a wonderful place to live. It accommodates us, allows us to breathe and eat and do all the things that we like to do. So it is an adorable planet. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Sure.
Beautiful comment.
And,
thank you, Weaver.
Stelina said, what'd you say here? I was just going to say, Stelina said, love the use of personification of the sun and moon. It makes the scene more intimate and familiar to the reader, as though these are old friends. Excellent comment, as you pointed out, Gray. And, Gray, we have two open poetry. Do we want to do those? And I'm hoping we got Stelina's. If we do the open poetry, I'm hoping we got Stelina's SoundCloud on there as well. But do we want to go to that?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
And yes, we do have the SoundCloud.
All right,
Yeah, we have the SoundCloud. I'm just putting this up now. I hadn't even noticed the time. I do apologize. It's having so much fun. That's terrible, isn't it? There we are. We have our wonderful Stalina's poetry there. It's Bittersweet Memories, and there is a SoundCloud.
Okay, I will get that right now. Here we go.
I never expected to see you again. I thought that I was safe somehow. But there you were, sitting in the balmy evening, soft candlelight casting luminescence upon your face. All the world fell silent and faded away around me. I watched you lean over, brush away her tumbling auburn curls, and tenderly kiss her neck. I wanted to look away, but I've yearned so much for the sight of you that the pain was worth it. The memories, bittersweet to me, reflections of her love, the passion, heated and urgent between us, a mere ember now, yet in my mind so heartbreakingly vivid, laughing, your eyes crinkling at the corners, that disarming dimple in your left cheek, begging to be kissed. And your eyes, ah, your eyes, blue as cornflowers, swaying in a summer breeze. Lying next to you, nestled in your embrace, caressing my body, in morning's sweet amber glow, I feel your touch still. It is imprinted on my skin. She leans over and whispers in your ear. Your laughter warms my flesh. That deep, rich resonance awakens a familiar ache within me. My body, my lips, my mind, all crave you more than ever before. I can't turn away, even though each moment watching you is like a dagger through my heart. The way you touch her, the way you take her in your arms to dance. I imagine you around each other, your moans of ecstasy, calling out her name as a moment of heavenly release washes over you. You stand, and for a moment I see a flicker of recognition. Then you turn and walk away, and my heart breaks all over again. I never expected to see you again. I thought that I was safe, somehow.
Wow. Bravo, Stalina. Your sound files are so exceptional. You can feel the pain emanating from your voice as you read through this heart-wrenching poem of somebody watching their former lover be engaged with their new lover, and you're just a memory, and those memories, you know, are bittersweet for you. So palpable in its pain, and truly endearing, right? Beautifully written, Stalina, and a fabulous SoundCloud. Thank you so much for sharing. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I love Stalina's SoundClouds. great to hear your voice. There's so much passion in this. And quick and simply said, my God! ! I think that's really the best way to wrap it up, because it was so passionate. I just love the, what was that line here? I want, and he's kind of said it a couple of times. I wanted to look away, but I've yearned so much for the sight of you that the pain was worth it. What an amazing line. Because, knock on wood, luckily I've never had experience like a love. And you see them passionately with somebody else, it's got to be the worst, you know, thing. I mean, finding out somebody cheated is one thing, but actually witnessing it and seeing it, it's got to just be a horrible experience. But you can't stop looking at this person because just seeing the person, you'd rather just see them even if it's hurting you. You can't look away because you love them so much. So you can just kind of feel that, I feel your touch still. It is imprinted on my skin. So you can constantly feel the touch of the person even if they're not there. So this is so heart-wrenching and just beautifully done. The ending, I never expected to see you again, thought that I was safe somehow, right? So this person must have been gone, either it's an ex-lover or whatever happened, and they're gone and you're safe. You don't have to feel that heartbreak again, but now all of a sudden you see them again, and you're not safe anymore because you're trapped, you're compelled, right? Love and attraction and allure is something that's not safe. It's something that that controls us. What was the line? I'm totally going to paraphrase this line, but somebody said, if you're truly attracted to something, there is no distraction in the world that got away except being with that person. And I'm not saying it right, but if you get that, if something's bothering you or something's in your mind, you can try to distract yourself. But if it's somebody you love, if it's somebody you really want, there's nothing that can take that away except being with that person, right? So this person here thought they were safe, but now they saw them again, and they're not safe. They're trapped. They can't, they can't control the thoughts. Really, really beautiful. Excellent job. Read Crickets real quick. This felt like a punch in the gut, the best we possibly have reached in the chest that anyone has ever loved and lost. The imagery is great. He goes on to say, incredibly moving. I'm jealous of everyone's voice. I'm sure you have a great voice, Quicken, as well, too. Stelina always does a great, great read. Awesome. And Weaver, I know you're thinking of all kinds of fun things to say.
Oh, dear. Oops, I got nothing. No, it's not true. She is just wonderful. She knows I love her to bits. I think her talent should be given out to everyone to experience because she's so good. Every time there is something new, there is something. That one, this clutched at my poor old beaten-up heart. It made me feel like I actually had a heart. Which is a lovely feeling to think you can look back on loves, even if they are lost. You know, you loved and you lived that life loving someone. And that not everybody gets that either, the fact that I've been married 3 times has got nothing to do with it. It's just I'm not very good at relationships. But I do like wedding cake. Yes, Selena, you are a marvel. You always have been. And this is particularly sweet, and your voice comes across so beautifully. The words, my goodness me. I'm sorry I'm going on, but she does touch me every time I hear her. And I understand that feeling so well of seeing someone that you love, and you think, why not me? You know, what have they got that I don't have? And I'll change, and it makes no difference. It's just not going to happen, and it hurts even more. So thank you so much for that, Talina, and thank you for sharing that with us. Beautiful.
Weaver, you just said the quote of the night, I think. I'm not very good at love, but I do like wedding cake. That's my favorite quote of the night right there. I'm gonna remember that one. That was that's a great quote.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It sounds like the content to me.
Oh, dear.
And Quicken, I think, added once for a... for an open poetry, so we'll get to that one as well too.
Yes, of course, no problem. Next up for open poetry, we have "Good to Bad Reputation with Lies" by Jenny the Deep. Okay, I will read this one. I think it's my turn. Maybe not, but I'll read it anywho. Good to bad reputation with lies. Bad blood boils as my name spoils, a victim of plagiarism, now accused of it. Had a good reputation, now risking social elimination. I am honest and take pride in my work, but rumors made my words have no worth. Can't trust anyone. Deja vu has begun. As you drag my name through the mud, you spreading false information about me makes you the true enemy. Real wisdom doesn't come from being told what to think. It comes from a constant hunger to know the truth. Those who do, I thank. To those who choose to believe rumors, you are part of the problem, like tumors. Seek out answers. Do your due diligence. Asking questions shows your intelligence. And I'll read the author's notes if you don't mind. 119 words on extreme lies and being lied about. It's offensive and reputation ruining. Works for Deja Vu contest too, for it happened before, trying to smear my name and based on quotes. Impressive, every word in that sentence was wrong. Luke Skywalker, and my disappointment in your performance cannot be overstated. And that was a cheap move. Luke Skywalker. And there's enough of more, which I don't think we'll get into at this point. But obviously this is something that Jenny the Deep wanted to get across to everyone. So there we have it.
Excellent read, Weaver. And, you know, when people lie and speak behind your back and accuse you of things that you haven't done, you know, you can have a good reputation and have it ruined by these falsities that are conveyed against you. And, you know, that's just heartbreaking, heart-wrenching, you know. You work so hard to build up a reputation only to have it knocked down by, you know, haters and naysayers who, you know, lie and make up stuff about you. And, you know, that gets believed by your people. And slowly you lose that reputation that you've worked so hard to build. And it's just tragic. So Madonna 13 says, I hate when I'm accused of something I didn't do. And as a result of that, your reputation gets screwed. Nowadays, it's even worse because people have the internet. Thanks for pointing out the truth. Great poem. You know, I'm totally in real agreement with that comment by Madonna 13. So a fantastic rate and a beautiful read. What are your thoughts, Dan?
It is tough. You know, it's a very sad thing, I think. And it's one of my pet peeves. I think it's one of the evilest things that we do is take embarrassing photos or videos, whatever, or just post things of people on the internet for millions of people to see all over the world, and there's almost nothing you can do about it. And, you know, I don't know why anyone would want to tarnish anyone's reputation. It's a big difference if you're just talking about somebody. I'm going to quote, totally paraphrase Jane Austen, but Pride and Prejudice, I think the father says something like, you know, what fun can we have if we can't, you know, poke fun at our neighbors from time to time and they poke fun at us. And meaning like, yeah, everybody always kind of talks here and there, but it's a big difference between just gossiping with your friends and actually, you know, bad mouthing somebody in public. It's just such a horrible thing. And I don't know why people want to do that, why they feel like they have to publicly shame someone when they probably have really no idea what they're talking about. So it's a bad, you know, it's a bad thing. I usually quote my favorite poet, Neil Peart of the band Rush. And he says about, trust and respect. He's more talking about when you lose it yourself, but it still applies. He says, the measure of a life is the measure of love and respect. So hard to earn, so easily burned. And it's true. You know, I think about somebody who's been accused of something, let's say like, I read one, there was a teacher that was accused of abusing like high school kids, and it ended up being false, right? So they acquitted the person, but it doesn't matter because in everyone's, you know, in many people's eyes, they still don't trust them, even though it came out that the student was lying. He can't get his reputation back. You know, there will be definitely people who will forgive and say, okay, Jesus is false. But in everyone's eye, they're still looking like, was it really, you know, because it's in their mind. And it's just too bad that that's the way human nature is, that we want to, you know, badmouth each other, and we can't forgive even if things were wrong. So yeah, sorry if this is a true story and you had to go through something like this, Jenny, but, you know, all you can do with evil, bad people is wish them well and move on with life. Unfortunately. So it's, it's not a rep. So Robbie said, oh, hey, Robbie. Robbie's on. Quicken said, sorry, this happened to her. You know, words are minor, reputations are fragile. They really are. you know, and the thing about it is, too, you still have to be yourself. You know, so many people are also very scared, right, to do anything. You never want to, you know, expose yourself. And I don't know, I used to be like that, and now I just don't care. If people don't think, you know, I want to, it's not that I don't care. I don't want to hurt anybody, but I'm just going to be myself. And if people, you know, don't like me, then I don't know what to say. You know, I'd rather be honest and truthful. And Robbie says, I was just talking about this today. I've been seeing videos of owners' dogs showing how their dogs have unconditional love by being bad to them. Oh, what a horrible thing. I haven't seen that one, and I'm glad I haven't. It's not a rep thing, but it shows callousness of evil that's on the internet. Yeah, there's bad stuff. I was talking to a Faziana about that the other day. In fact, she actually talked me off the ladder and said, Dan, shut the computer off, shut your phone off, and go take a walk and stop looking at these things. And that's what I have to do. It just gets me so upset to see the evilness and uncaring in the world. But anyway, excellent job. And I talked so much, I forgot who else commented. So you guys will have to step up because I'll stop.
You can go ahead and comment. Thank you.
Okay, yes, I think it's great that Jenny has this format, this stage to bring forward her grievance. I mean, it's not always you can do that. You know, you can't always just let everybody know exactly how you feel. And I have said this before, it's a great thing to get these things out. Not only does it make you feel a bit better, you said your piece, but it also makes other people who might be in the same position feel a bit better about what's going on. I don't know if you can hear me because there's a lot of noise going on in the background. I do apologize. So I'll just I'll leave it at that and say thank you very much for sharing that with us, Jenny.
Absolutely. Great comment, Eva. So what do we have next?
And next, I found it. Next we have Lost Pieces of Me by Quicken. And Daniel, would you care to read this for us, please?
Absolutely. Let's take a look here. The Lost Pieces of Me by Quicken. Well, great picture, too. Anybody who's following along, definitely check out the poem and check out the picture associated with it. In a corner of a room that feels more like a prison than a home, I sit shrouded by a thick fog of despair, too heavy to be shared. The air is saturated with emotions that seem not of my own, as if planted by the countless voices dictating how I should live, what I should feel, and who I should be. I walk a path not of my choosing, each step echoing others' expectations, my desires drowned by the demands. The reality I inhabit is cold, unwelcoming, stark against the warm I yearn for, a warmth as distant as a forgotten memory. Lonely, my heart heavy with sorrow, I whisper to my deepest self, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Through tears blurring my vision, for losing pieces of myself, letting darkness consume who I am. Empty, observing, I watch the last hope flicker and fade into overwhelming darkness. The emptiness inside a vast void where no light persists. Amidst despair, a fragile wish emerges, a wish to simply be, to let suppressed tears fall, to acknowledge pain and loss without judgment or fear. Each tear brings a fleeting moment of relief in the storm of my emotions, brief and temporary. Realizing I am alone in the struggle weighs heavily, threatening to crush me. The path to peace, to healing scars from a lifetime of conforming to others' expectations is unrelenting. In despair's depths, I cling to the hope that maybe I can find a way out of this hole, perhaps contemplating. A vulnerability that can free me, revealing something of my own. Yet here I sit, crying, the journey empty, uncertain of who and what I am. End poem.
Excellent read, Daniel. And what are your thoughts, Rita?
I wanted to read it, but I was being a good girl. Let Daniel do it. Because, you know, I always feel that, not that I'm in any way a feminist or a sexist, but I always feel that if a man has written something, there will be a different slant to it, perhaps. Everybody's got a different way of looking at things. But I do like to have a gentleman read a guy's poetry. I think it just comes across so well. And this, my goodness me, you were right about the picture. That's amazing. That picture just tells everything. And I, again, you see, I so relate to this as well. In a corner of a room that feels more like a prison than a home, I sit, shrouded by a thick fog of despair, too heavy to be cared. Well, I suppose, I'm sorry, that noise is just terrible.
Yeah, if everybody can just mute, that would be great.
Oh, thank you. Wow, it makes it difficult to think, and it's difficult enough for me. Oh, dear. Okay, yes, I can really relate to those first few lines. So that alone is a cry, isn't it, for somebody to at least acknowledge, I walk a path not of my choosing, each step echoing others' expectations, my desire drowned by their demands. Oh, that is so difficult to live with, you know, to be expectations piled upon you. And usually they're the last things that you want to even attempt to do, because people think that's what you should do, or that's what you're suited to, or whatever the situation is. It's never easy to try, and you cannot please everybody. It just won't happen. You know, you're lucky if you can even please yourself, and that's the truth of it. So if you have to live your life to other people's expectations, then you need to walk away from that particular group, because they're doing you no favors. So yes, I thought, you know, I'm hoping this is not, you know, I hope this is fiction, but it was beautifully written with such a deep sense of despair, but not all of it is despair, because there is that grasp. I can see there's one hand coming up to grasp the top of the wall and get you over that wall and away. So I hope it happens. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was wonderful.
Great, great comment. And we might possibly have another guest star here. Do we have somebody waiting to come in?
I'm here. It's Robbie.
Hey, Robbie.
Hi, Robbie.
Hey there. How goes?
Would you like to say anything about Quick and Small? Good, thanks. Would you like to say anything about Quick and Small?
One thing I like about the format that you guys have is how you have the picture prompts, and you know we see the pictures with the poems. Not too many shows I've seen have that, just because the format's completely different. And yeah, the picture here is so powerful, and it really drives home the point here in this poem of the feeling of it just like complete, it almost feels like a complete internalization, or it's like you're just, it's just you and that's it, right? And especially one point here, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I whisper to my deepest, I'm sorry, please forgive me. So it's like that's where the picture and the poem really come together, because it's that feeling of that inner monologue. Like even though it's in the picture, it's a physical place, the place is like so isolated, and that the light is so cold and, you know, bluish, and so it's not like a warming light. And I really relate to, I'm sorry, please forgive myself, you know, like coming from your deepest self, because I'm someone who's I've always had to do my own effort, and sometimes I chastise myself for not being stronger sooner in life, and to get things to get things on track quicker. So I'm always looking at my old self and comparing it to my new self, and and that. So with that part especially, I really related to that. And just like with the way the language is in general, it really reflects the poem. Empty, observing, I watch the last hope flicker and fade into overwhelming darkness. So it's like, again, you're in this very much this small, focused space of yourself, whether that be an external or an internal place. And both the poem and the picture together there, like, they really drive that home. So I thought the dynamic of that was wonderful.
Excellent point. Thanks, Robbie. Thanks for joining. Gray, before I comment, what did you think?
You know, he paints such a painful picture of his life with his words. You know, the suffering that the human heart can endure is definitely both tragic and encouraging. You know, to be able to survive such a life is not an easy thing to do without wanting to sign out of it. And thank you for not signing out of it, Quicken. We can see you here, and it was a beautiful write. So thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Gray. Awesome. And Quicken says, the idea behind this poem, what it means to be a man, and how others would like to dictate what is proper, not realizing that you'd be filled with, that you're being filled with other people's ideas. Then you realize that everything you have is not your own. And yeah, I agree. I mean, it's for men and women, right? Everybody, this is what you're supposed to be. You know, for a woman, you have to look this way, you have to act this way. You know, sometimes you look at you know, a group of women going out, and they're all dressed the same. They all look the same. They're all smiling. They're all doing, like, they're all trying to be this thing that everybody, and you know, men also, you have to be, you have to look a certain way, be a certain way. Everybody's expecting you to do something, and it's even deeper than just men and women, right? If you're wherever you are in society, whatever group you're with, you have these expectations, and it's you know, it's sad that we just can't be ourselves. I think I mentioned it earlier. I'm kind of, you know, at my age, I'm done with all that. I'm just going to be me, and if people like it, they do. If they don't, they don't. You know, and I don't mean to mean. I'm not trying to, but I'd rather be truthful. The band The Who talks about it, the Eminence Front. They have that great song, Eminence Front, that we all kind of put on. Where was the part here? Give me a second. The air is saturated with emotions that seem not of my own, plans by countless voices dictating how I should live, what I should feel, and who I should be with. I've actually been thinking a lot about this, Quick, and in a little bit different way, where I'm thinking about how we're all manipulated all the time, and not necessarily told what to do, but just everything we see is people, you know, people's ideas. There's a great video out there. It's a YouTube video, and it's, I think if you search for the power of words and then homeless, you'll see this study that was done. And I was playing this video for a different reason, but it's just this video about this. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but it's based on a real study. So what you see in the video really happened. It's basically this homeless person sitting there, and he has a sign up, and somebody comes and changes the sign, and what they put on the sign actually changes it, and people are now giving him money. But in the video, right, there's what I was thinking about this, where there's this kind of music playing that's kind of, you know, emotional music. The actors are acting a certain way, and the way they put everything together, right? Everything we see, everything we do is made like that. If you go to buy something in a store, it's to manipulate you. You know, the packaging is a certain way. I don't know if anybody knows about McDonald's, but McDonald's picked the yellow and red purposely because those colors don't go together. They clash. They don't work. You know, artists don't usually put them together because they're ugly together. But that's why McDonald's picked that, because it, like, stands out. It's like, ooh, what's that? So it gets your attention. You know, almost everything we do is manipulation, and we don't realize that, you know. What's up?
It's even the seating. The seating in those places is extremely uncomfortable. They have those metal-ish, hard plastic chairs. And people say, why do they have that? It's so uncomfortable. Well, it's so that you don't sit there long, and then it's like a higher rotation of customers, right? It's, you're in, you're out. So, yeah, I can't remember where I heard that, but Yeah, apparently they have it that way so that there's a high rotation of customers.
Oh wow, I never thought of that. But see, there you go. I've been manipulated my whole life going to those, and I never knew it. And there you go, right? I never knew that one, but that's really, really interesting. That is probably why they do that, because they don't want you just sitting there hanging out. Yeah, amazing. So, I feel you on this. Quicken, awesome job.
Just one more note is that with all the cameras, they. With all the cameras, they track where your eye movement goes, you know, in Walmart and all these big stores where you're surrounded by cameras. They follow your eye movement so that they're seeing what you're looking at, you know, and they study all this. And, they either move product or change displays or, you know, whatever to accommodate your buying, you know, what you look at. So it's fascinating mentality is played on us in all aspects of our lives.
Oh wow, that's really interesting. I didn't know that. Next time I'm in Walmart, I'm just gonna stare at the floor and see if they have a sale on rugs. But I didn't know that. I didn't know they did that. That's interesting.
Keep the camera's finger.
Yeah, he's giving the finger the whole time.
Yeah.
Finger,
right? Walmart's always giving you the finger with price fixing and all that kind of stuff too.
I try to avoid Walmart. It's a little too crazy for me, but I can't argue with the prices, so that's the problem. All right, cool. What do we want to do now?
Okay, what we want to do is we're going to put Robbie to work. We have The Moon is a Groomer by R. El Giraulio. I'm terribly sorry, I can't pronounce your name. No, it's not the whiskey. Okay, so this is The Moon is a Groomer. And over to you, Robbie.
Okay. The Moon is a Groomer. At night, the moon always grooms my eyes with a serious romantic attraction. An attraction that soaks in my soul to glow with no hesitation, because the moon could be a friend. A friend that lives in this sky to apply love in my eyes. So my eyes just glide with the moon to a peaceful location, a location for this moment. No interruptions aren't ever welcome to spoil the fun romance. The romantic moon, a friend that I would introduce my lady to. That's if I was in a relationship, but not at this moment. It's just me with the moon sharing those romantic, gorgeous, gleaming treats, those treats that never causes my soul to ever be weak. To guide my speech, to speak negatively against the moon was what a groomer that has those romantic tools to soothe my soul. And that was The Moon is a Groomer by Rilovji, I believe, yes. That looks like I'm Eastern, I'm Polish, so it looks like kind of Eastern European, so I kind of know how to pronounce it. I have some sort of a clue, at least.
Excellent read, Robbie, and I thought it was fantastic, right? You know, the moon does affect us romantically. I mean, we all kind of are lulled into this peacefulness by the moon's presence, and it speaks to our souls in ways that no one else can. But I don't know about introducing my lady to the moon, because, I mean, you know, if you don't stand this that woman, just look out, you know, leave her. But, no, it was a great write, and a good fabulous read, Robin. What are your thoughts, Dan?
I did like it, and I've been seeing a lot of poems lately with this style. Now, I don't know if it's just because it's just kind of written in paragraph form and that's how it comes out, but it's just funny that I've seen this. So I don't, you guys can tell me, I don't know if it's a new style to kind of write it this way, but it's interesting. I did like the moon is a groomer. That's a great title. Grooms my eyes with a serious romantic attraction. So it does, when you, you know, a lot of times when you see a beautiful moon where it is, you're staring at it, and it kind of grooms you, right? It gets you in a certain mood. It kind of, you know, can make you feel a certain way. You know, Gray talked earlier about walking into the woods and just kind of, you know, feeling childlike and just feeling the wonderment, right? It just makes you feel a certain, it can change your whole mood, and the moon can definitely do that for you. Yeah, introducing a lady to it is great, where you know, I can just picture, you know, walking with somebody romantically, and you just kind of say, hey, look at the moon, and you're kind of trying to get, you know, get somebody to see that, the beauty that you're seeing the same way. Let's see, where was it? Where else is that part? Where is it? Because the moon could be a friend that lives in the sky to apply love in my eyes. So my eyes just glides with the moon to a peaceful location. And it is. It's something that's, you know, the moon is something that's steady. It's there. It's you can count on it, right? No matter what goes on, it's going to be there for us. It's going to be there for you. It's something you can always see. So I thought it was really interesting and great imagery and ideas. Nice job. And let's go to Weaver.
Oh, sorry, I was swallowing there. No, I thought this. Yeah, I have. You mentioned the fact of the style of the writing. Yes, I have noticed that as well. It is more prose than your normal sort of da-da-da-da-da kind of poetry. And it has its merits. There's nothing wrong with it at all. I think I might even try it sometime. I suppose for some people it is just easier to go with what they're used to. But that's not always, you know, that's not always the best way to be. Change, as long as it doesn't hurt, can be a wonderful thing. And if it hurts, you're doing it wrong. So bear that in mind. But I thought this was beautifully done. I thought it was, so again, another sweet poem. I once pointed out to someone a full moon and said, oh, look at that lovely smile on the face of the moon. And they went, what? I said, what, you can't see it? And they said, no, what are you talking about? I said, it's a face. It's a famous face. It's been written about since 18 something or other. The moon's, but anyway, maybe I'm the only one that sees it. I hope not. But I thought this was lovely, and I can imagine the moon. I was a little bit, no, never mind. I won't say that one. But it was a sweet testament to the moon, and it was lovely that he thought of introducing his friend to it. Wonderfully done. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you know, people pointed it out to me, like, and here's the eye note. I don't know why I've never been able to see that. There is a face in the moon. Everybody says that. Everybody sees it. You see it in cartoons everywhere. I don't know why I've never been able to really just say, oh, yeah, there it is. Hmm. I don't know why. I've never been able to see it. And it's there. I remember my father as a kid pointing it out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. It's just never stuck out to me. It's very,
wow.
Very strange. Yeah, I don't know why. I can see the green cheese in there, right? It's supposed to be green cheese you can eat in the moon, and I see the moon men, but I can't see the face. That was a joke. Gray, I don't think you commented yet.
I did, yeah.
Oh, you did. My fault. So,
well, I don't think Robbie has.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can go ahead and. So, yeah, I was wondering about the paragraph format, too. I was idly wondering about that because I've seen that a couple of times now myself. So, yeah, I might Google that or something and see what comes up. One thing that caught my attention with this poem was the idea of, like, yeah, there seems to be not an ownership of the moon, but kind of like, well, I want to be the moon's romantic friend. I could introduce the moon to somebody, but I won't. Like, I think there's some point here. Oh, yeah, the romantic moon, a friend that I would introduce my lady to. That's if I was in a relationship. But no, not at this moment. It's just me with the moon sharing those romantic, gorgeous treats. And I usually don't hear that or see that in a moon poem where it is kind of a mutable relationship with the moon where usually it's just the moon and you, but, you know, the person's talking about, well, you know, maybe I'll introduce the moon to somebody, but I don't have somebody right now. So that was a kind of a curious little, an interesting little addition there to how one looks at the moon. And I like the part of grooming my eyes. It's just that idea of kind of giving your eyes a very specific sort of perception of something, like, you know, this is me, this is what I look like. And again, that's something that just all the elements in this are very unique of a moon poem. And I like seeing that because, you know, whenever you're trying to write something about something that's been written out, written since like the beginning of days, like a vampire, the moon, the sun, love, whatever, you know, it can be hard to stand out and be unique when you want to. So when somebody does that, and it's done well, I like to see that.
Excellent comment, Robin. Thank you so much. All right, Reva, where are we to next?
Well, I was reminded that I haven't put my poem up, and I was trying to sneak past it. But here it is anyway, okay? Because it was in Daniel's contest. So it's got a SoundCloud, Gray, if you would play that, please. It's called A Vampire's Dilemma.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you. A vampire awakes beneath the cloak of night, forgets for a moment his never-ending flight. Then he feels those haunting moments of unease, hears the hidden dark denizens whisper on the trees. Moonbeams beckon, casting an eerie mystical light. Pale skin shimmers in the lunar glow, a mesmerizing sight. His eyes flash like two orbs of glowing embered fire. His thoughts only on sustenance now, fueled by desire. Yet the vampire is desperate, yearns to return to the day, to live beyond the realm of blood and immortality's sway. There is no need to seek an answer, as there can be just one. He can only succumb to that fatal, final death and walk into the sun.
Beautiful read, Eva. And I really enjoyed the poem, you know. I like the death walk, you know. I mean, that's the only exit that this vampire has, you know, after being tired of the life that he's been living, awakened beneath the cloak of night, forgets a moment his never-ending flight. You know, to be trapped in that life for eternity would just be an awful thing, I imagine. To always be hungry to feast on blood, another horrifying thing. So, it was definitely an excellent write, very emotive and palpable for sure. So thank you for sharing the beautiful SoundCloud. And Daniel, what are your...
Oh, yeah, it's great, and I love your SoundClouds, Weaver. And tell me if I'm wrong, but I do have a companion contest called The Sun Also Rises with a picture on it as well. And Weaver also, tell me if I'm wrong, Weaver, but you also wrote a vampire story for that one as well, too. So anybody who likes this one, you should read the companion piece on that, which is great. And my comment to Weaver was you really need to write like a story. Like a novella or something, because I especially the Sun Also Rises, what I thought was amazing. And yeah, this is an interesting take on the moons and on vampires. Vampires are supposed to be, I think they're immortal, I'm not sure, but this one doesn't want to be anymore, right? His thoughts only have substance, suffused by desire. Desperate turns to the day to live beyond the realm of blood and immortality's sway. So what can he do but, you know, to get out of this, to live beyond what he's doing, is to actually go into the sun and die, or see what happens when he gets into the sun. So I think it's beautifully written and an interesting kind of tale. I could see this as the end of a novella, something where, you know, the vampire's struggling and then here's how it all ends. But I thought it was great. And, before we get to Robbie, did you want to say anything about your poem?
And not really, except I'm just trying to give vampires a better street cred. That's all. That's all. That was it. Yeah, I love writing about vampires and anything ghostly and ghastly. I love it. So, yeah. And I think I did write another vampire one, so thank you.
Yes. All right, cool. Robbie?
Well, what I enjoyed in this, I mentioned this, I just put in a comment like on the entry for it, was that, like it says, he can only succumb to that fatal final death and walk into the sun. And then earlier on, like it says, forgets for a moment his never-ending plight. And so I like this poem for the fact that it shows that in the end, sure, immortality is great for maybe 100 years, 150, but then, anybody that I've ever loved, they'll die. They'll become old before me and die. And I'll start to forget people because the human brain can only hold so many memories. I'll start forgetting things. And there's just a whole litany of things, of realities, immortality that you don't really think about because you're blinded by the charm, you know, of immortality. But it really would be absolutely and utterly awful, especially as time goes on. And I like that this poem seems to have grasped that idea and that concept and brought it to the fore, especially at the end. And I remember Lestat actually had tried that, but he just ended up looking more human. So I think, yeah, he's like pissed off because it's like, well, okay, I tried to finally end this wretched immortality, but now I just look more like one of them. So, sucks to be him.
Very good.
So, Grace said, check out a book by...
Great comment.
Oh, I said that. Grace quoting myself. I can plug my friend Leanne Roberts. So, yeah, you guys should check it out. She actually has a book called Immortal Magic, which is a really great book. And the second one is coming out soon. It's... You know, I'm actually in the book. I actually wrote the opening poem for it, and I'm not poet. I'm not doing it because I get money. I actually don't get any money. I just did a pro bono because I really like her as an author, and I'm going to be in the second one too. But it really is a page turner. It's an amazing. It's very adult. It's got a lot of romance and adult situations and violence in it. But it really is a page turner. Like you just can't wait to see what's happening next page. It's called Immortal Magic by Leanne Roberts. Great vampire book. And it's a trilogy. She's got the second one coming out soon. And yeah, I did write the opening poem for it. So thanks for plugging me, Gray. I wasn't going to do it, but you did it. So I'll jump on that. And we might time for a quick one. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah. We have a SoundCloud by Gearcatcher. If you wouldn't mind putting that up, please.
Funnily enough, it's right there in front of me. From the Rising of the Moon by Gearcatcher. There we are.
Okay, push.
From the rising of the moon, the light so bright it burns the eyes is the same soft light of the midnight skies. Reflected off our celestial friend, it rises from the trees and slowly descends in quiet degrees. Sometimes a sliver, silver shiver grows bit by daily bit, till fully blown it catches breath and makes one pause and quietly sit. No time is lost in adoration. Trace the face that lights the path across expanse, smooth locomotion. Never shall you feel her wrath. The seas will swell and fill the basins. She propels the welling tide. I have forgotten the gravitic reasons. I'm just along for the splendid ride. A true companion through the seasons. My love for her cannot be denied.
Wow, excellent read. And I love the rate. You know, it really captures what the moon is. You know, it's the light so bright it burns the eyes. It is the same soft light of the midnight sky, reflected off our celestial friend. It rises from the trees and slowly descends in quiet degrees. Sometimes a sliver, silver shiver grows bit by bit daily till fully blown. It catches breath and makes one pause and quietly sit. Wow, just a beautiful poem. Excellent read as well. What are your thoughts, Robin?
Well, I like that in the beginning he mentions about the same soft light of the midnight sky. But all, yeah, how it begins with so soft, the light so soft. I'm sorry. The light so bright it burns my eyes. And that's a nice little twist up there, because we don't usually think of the moon as being so bright as to burn our eyes. It can really get bright, but it's more by contrast because everything else is so dark. So I enjoyed hearing a different take on that there, and that kind of continues the theme of the night of how a lot of the relations or descriptions of the moon tonight, I think, have been a little bit on the unconventional side and execute well.
Great comment, Rob. Thank you. And Daniel, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I think this is a great way to end the show. It's a great description of the moon. I really liked Silver Sliver Shiver. I thought it was amazing. Faison, if you're listening, I thought of you because I thought you would like that, because I know you like that kind of alliteration. Describing the moon as a shiver itself is really, really cool. And what was that other part I had here? The seas will swell and fill the basin. She propels the welling tide. I have forgotten the gravitic reasons. I'm just along for the ride. And I really love that, because sometimes science can take the magic and the romance away, right? If we're looking at things and just we understand exactly why it's doing it, as opposed to just the magic of it. You know, a long time ago, I'm very into music, and back when I was, back in the 90s, I was actually going to write a book on rhythm, and I wrote like two chapters, and I realized I'm taking the magic out of it. And so I've never really tried to figure out why we like music, why it, physically, why it's there, all this. I don't want to know that. I never want to take the magic away from it, and I got that out of there. So we only have 2 minutes left. I think, Weaver, you have it if you want to give a quick comment, and then maybe you can take us out, Gray.
Oh, thank you. Briefly, it was wonderful. I love the fact that it brings to mind the strength and the power that the moon has. It can move vast wastes of water. Wonderful. So thank you for sharing.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Daniel Weaver, for being such wonderful co-host. Thank you, Robbie, for calling in and hanging out on the board. Thank you, Quicken and Stelina and Fill My Eyes, for also hanging out on the board. Thank you, Fill My Eyes, for everything that you do to make these shows what they are. We love you all. Much love, everybody. And may the moonlight capture your heart as it did ours.
Good
night, everyone.
How sweet. Good night, my dear.
Peace and happiness.
Good night, all. Good night, Weaver. Get some rest.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.